You're listening to a special Best of Insight 2022 edition here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This summer, I took a trip up Highway 101 through the Lost Coast. I continued up north to Del Norte County, just south of the Oregon border, to the heart of California's redwoods. It's also home to the Yurok tribe, the largest in the state, with land that extends up the coastline and along the Klamath River, which is the longest wild and scenic river in California. But while the tribe is rich in remote beauty, I learned the Yurok are among the poorest tribes in the state, now undergoing a revival in economic development to restore priceless cultural traditions at risk of being lost. One of the traditions being restored, hand-carved canoes from California redwoods. Canoe captain Julian Markison, culture bearer Hop Norris, and canoe builder David Eric Severance took me on a serene voyage that shares the history of Yurok culture and a way of life that goes back centuries. The song you're about to hear is titled Nepui Rekwa from Yurok singer James Gensaw Sr. Known as Great Fishermen, the Klamath River has long been a lifeline for the Yurok tribe. And Julian Markison is part of a new generation restoring what he calls a lost art. Alongside modern jet boats, we travel back to a sacred tradition, traveling the river on canoes from handmade redwoods.
When did you start learning this process?
About 2 years ago. I never thought I would be involved in this, but they needed some paddlers last year, and so they asked me, and I just fell in love with it because there's nothing like it, really, being involved in your culture and it being all brand new and something that nobody's been doing for quite some time now. It's a little bit of a lost art.
It just feels so peaceful also.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'm in Del Norte County, which is the furthest north county to the west along the Pacific Ocean, just south of the Oregon border. And I'm standing on the bank of the Klamath River, about 5 miles from the mouth of the river into the Pacific Ocean. And before we hop on this canoe trip with the Yurok tribe, which is the largest tribe in California, I just got to tell you, it is so remotely peaceful. We are surrounded by redwoods and fern. And I got to tell you, coming from the Sacramento Valley in triple digit temperatures, we're at least 40 degrees cooler. It's like a rainforest.
Before we embark on our redwood canoe tour, Julian explains the tallest tree in the world is treated with deep respect.
So, these are our canoes right here. We believe that they're living just like you and I. And one of the ways that we do that is we give it all the necessary body parts to live.
There are two canoes side by side on the riverbank, roughly 20 feet long and 3 feet wide. As Julian runs his hand alongside the edges, he explains each redwood is considered a living being, just like humans.
So if you look right here, this is actually the nose of the canoe. And whenever you're handling this canoe, you never want to grab right here. Because nobody likes getting pulled around by their nose, right? But in all reality, this is the short grain of the redwood, so it's really easy to just pop right off. And then we'd have an out-of-commission canoe. And if you look a little bit closer right here, these are the lungs of the canoe. These indentions right here. And then they're also connected to the heart, just like you and I. And then we're also always going to have this lifeline for the continuance of life that goes all the way around. And then if you look at the two notches in the back, those are the kidneys for purification and good thought. And then we also got the heart right here. And back in the day, you wouldn't even get into one of these canoes if it didn't have a heart. It's kind of like, you know, the energy was off and it keeps balance and all that. And then lastly, we have the seat in the back. And because at the end of the day, what do? We rest, right? So that's what that signifies, is make sure to rest.
Julian explains both canoes are two halves carved from the same redwood log and are considered different genders.
That's Big Baby. He's the guy. And then we just found out the name of this one. This one's Bertha. It's named after the canoe builder, Dave's grandma. So, yeah, and then this is the girl, and that's the boy right there. So you could tell that they're a little bit different.
We hop into Bertha and begin traveling along the Klamath River.
Do you know how long these canoes can last for?
Yeah, so if you take care of them properly, these can last for over 100 years.
Each redwood completes its life cycle as a tree before transforming into a dugout canoe.
We would never cut down a log. We like to think that the redwood chooses to be a log or not. So we'll actually only take fallen ones.
Julian is the canoe captain sitting in the back, joined up front by Yurok guide Hop Norris.
H-O-P, like short for jump. Norris, like Chuck, but no relation.
Hop has lived on Yurok land for the majority of his life.
Our people, we're all the same, but we're kind of different. We identify ourselves by where we come from, where we village we come from. And here along this hillside right here, this is Hopau Village. And that's where my family comes from, my people. We dance people, we're what they call medicine people.
Explaining that a proper introduction leads with where you're from, followed by your name.
When you tell somebody where you're from, then they can have an understanding of how to interact with you, because the idea being that we're class people, and you know, dance families, medicine families, magic families being the highest class people, and then, you know, down it goes like that. And so when I say I'm from Hopau and my name's Hop, now everybody knows that, okay, he's from over here, and you interact with them a certain way. The idea being kind of like, you don't interact the same way with your boss as you do with your wife. You don't interact the same way with your mother as you do with your brother. You know, that kind of idea. So I know who I'm speaking with, so I know how to behave. I know how to address you and that type of thing like that. So we would say where we're from first and then say our name.
The bond between redwood and Yurok goes back centuries, spanning generations, but like countless Native American traditions, became endangered.
This is all very new to us as well. You know, this is something that's a lost art and a lost culture, and a lost part of our culture that's being currently revived. And so it's awesome when sometimes get to stop by and speak with these guys, and they'll, you know, give us little tidbits of information that we don't have, and that now we can share with you.
It's the importance of oral tradition, passing
Absolutely.
It on.
Absolutely. Myself, I'm known what's known as a culture bearer, and that means basically that I have a lot of knowledge about the culture and stuff, and this is something that's new to me as well, even as a culture bearer. And so that, you know, there's never a time to stop learning, no matter how old you become. Because I'm a little bit older than these guys.
Gliding on a hand-built redwood canoe is serene.
Today we might see some otters. There's a lot of birds on this river. May see some fish jump here and there. Right now is what we call spring salmon season.
A quiet solitude historically reserved only for the Yurok tribe to protect their culture and symbiotic relationship with the environment.
We're fisher people, salmon people. You know, it said that if there's no salmon, then there's no reason for the Pulik Lot for us to exist, that we have no purpose if there's no fish. And so that's how closely we are tied to these salmon that are in this water.
Sharing their traditions and history with the public represents a shift in trust and openness.
I do have a lot of jokes. I'm a pretty funny guy. You know, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be in stand-up. But the stories and stuff, you know, we have a lot. You can see interacting, and you hear us when we're all together, and there's a lot of laughter and a lot of good times and good feelings amongst each other and that type of stuff. And we're that way amongst each other, you know, and we're finally learning to be that way with others. Because for a long time, we weren't that way. You know, when settlers first got here, we wouldn't speak with them. We wouldn't talk with them. And they were like, who are you people? And we wouldn't speak with them. Our people, when they had to go up the river to the Karuks and say, who are those people down there? You know, and they said, that's the Yuruks. They call us the Yuruks. For them, that means coastal people. And so the settlers couldn't say Yuruks. They say Yurok. And they say, oh, well, we just call them the clam mouth people because they don't speak. You know, and that's actually where this name Klamath come from, is an evolution of that name clam mouth that they gave our people when, because we wouldn't speak to them. And so, but amongst our each other, you know, it's all cordial and fun and good times and happy and like that. And so we're finally learning to share that with the world. And that's kind of part of what these tours are doing, is allowing us to share of ourselves with the rest of the world.
Hop describes a Klamath River that once carried an interstate of canoes until an atmospheric river known as the Christmas Flood of 1964 decimated the Pacific Northwest and Yurok land.
Chandler's first guy here was described as a redwood canoe highway, hundreds of canoes going up and down each side of this river. And even in old pictures before 1964, if you look at old pictures of the river, there's all kinds of these canoes intermixed with the more modern boats as well, up until 1964. During the flood, all of them got washed out and hardly any of them that were recovered. And then the knowledge was lost.
That knowledge is now being salvaged. Julian estimates there are less than a dozen redwood canoes today.
There's only about 11 of these in existence. So this is one of the rarest vessels in the world right here.
And Hop jumps in to add that canoe captains like Julian are few and far between.
So another cool thing about these canoes is that there's only about 20 people in the world that can drive them with any type of skill or be considered a captain in that.
Now, when it comes to crafting redwood canoes, to become a carver is years, even decades, in the making. The canoe we're riding on, Bertha, was built by Yurok tribal member David Eric Severance, which is my next stop when back on land.
I was lucky. I was raised around old people. I got to learn a lot of stuff. I know way more stuff than this canoe boom. But this is my baby. I love this.
Standing in front of his next canoe in the making, David shares the redwood Yurok origin story.
But there's a story of a redwood tree, and the redwood tree wanted to live amongst the humans. And the Creator gave him that opportunity to live amongst the humans by giving us canoes. And that's how the redwood tree lives with man. So we treat this with the utmost respect, like we would another family member.
David's craft is more than skill, but also an awareness that redwood canoes require the building blocks of a healthy relationship.
First thing I do is come, I introduce myself to the canoe, tell them I'm here to work on it, and then I say a prayer for the canoe and for everybody that works on it. And I'll walk all the way around it with my hand on it till I get back where I started. And that's how I start my day. And I always feel good. And you never work on these when you're angry or with somebody else. You know, we've been really lucky. We have, you know, people with addiction problems and stuff, but they never come over here. And when my boys work on it, we talk about those people. You know, I'll say, you know, see so-and-so, because they're relatives to us, he's even family friends. I said, you know, it's too bad he can't be over here, but that's how he chooses to live. And the idea is to encourage my boys that if this is the life they're going to choose, be responsible for the life of a canoe, then they can't live like that. And that, my hope is, that keeps them from ever living like that.
The Yurok canoe tours allow the tribe to rebuild their culture, but also by offering tours to the public, it helps overcome another challenge, cost. The Yurok tribe may be the largest in the state, but struggles in economic development.
We are the poorest tribe in California. Our casino, it looks pretty. It really doesn't do anything. It does create a few jobs, but that's it.
The casino is part of a Holiday Inn Express along a beautifully scenic but remote stretch of Highway 101, just south of the Oregon border. Far from the size of the more established tribal casinos, and cell service is spotty at best.
For where we were 25 years ago, we're doing well, but we're not doing near as well as Marengo and other tribes.
Another challenge, supply. Now, if you remember, the redwood decides when it becomes a canoe. The Yurok doesn't cut them down. David says acquiring a log is difficult, and the price is high to transport it onto tribal land.
You can have all the teachers in the world. If you don't have the material, it's just not going to happen. And we experimented in the past with logs that were pretty much junk, but the tribe itself doesn't own big timber. That's been taken away by timber companies or lost through mismanagement of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. But now, our partnership with the parks and BLM, we're starting to get logs. But then again, we fall in the dilemma is how do we afford to bring them logs home? But through this Yurok economic development, that's happened. So the opportunity to continue doing this is coming solely from the tours taking them rides. I mean, It's sad, but it's important for us.
And it funds the continuing of a tradition that goes back centuries.
When I started this one, I was probably the youngest canoe builder out of the five there is. And I was the baby at 50-something. But the rest of them are old men, and they're just, a lot of them aren't doing this, and a lot of them don't have students. And like I say, it's hard to have a student, because the men that should be learning this, they got families. My boys all got to, you know, pay the rent, pay the mortgage. But when they come up with this idea, I thought, oh, man, that's awesome. And just right up my alley, because I like to teach. But that's my goal, is to teach. If 100 kids come and do chop on this, out of that 100 kids, I would say 3 kids are going to have the chance to build, are going to remember it enough to be able to do it again. Out of them 3, 1 kid's going to get a log. I mean, that's out of 100 kids. And when you think of our membership based here on the res, where the logs are available isn't like most of us, most of tribal members live abroad. And I see why, you know, we don't live in the best area for economics. But out of the, it's the kids that live here that are going to learn this. And that's the ones that walk over and do it.
How long does it take to become a master carver?
Everybody says, oh, you're a master carver. But I hate to call myself that, because my teacher's still alive. And that implies I have his skills. And I really don't. My canoes look pretty. His are way better. But I don't know. I don't think it's a matter of time. I think it's more a matter of how many canoes. And I don't think it's just being able to build a canoe. I think most people could if they put their mind to it and had the time and the log. But I think to be able to do it over and over with consistency, quite a few years. I learned 14 years ago was the first canoe I built, and I've been around them ever since. Some guys learn faster than others. I have a little guy that's 13. He's going to be a canoe builder. He knows this stuff. And when I go to other places and I teach, I'll visit with the adults, and he'll jump in and be the teacher for the day. It's pretty cool. As you have been in there long enough, let these other guys have a turn. It's cute. It's pretty cool.
That must feel so nice, seeing a 13-year-old, knowing that they're going to continue on what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, ain't just that, too. How many 13-year-olds can say, I'm a canoe builder, or I know enough about it to build one? So, yeah, it's a big deal. It's just, you know, it's just our goal, our camp's goal, is to keep our kids out of trouble through culture. And then, again, we're stuck with that dilemma of traditional culture and what materials are available, such as the redwood tree. So things aren't like they used to be, but we're trying to keep it as traditional as we can.
This trip along the Klamath River, guided by the Yurok tribe, is a truly special experience, but also a hard, necessary history lesson of a way of life nearly destroyed. Which is why, while guiding me on the river, Hop Noor said he was initially against welcoming outsiders.
I was actually one of the loudest voices against it. Yeah, and at the time I felt like we was pimping our culture out, you know. And several factors that changed my mind in that. And one being that I grew up being told that we don't share, you know. I was blessed to be raised by what they call Indian outlaws. And up until 1978, it was considered to be illegal to practice our ways, to participate in our ceremonies, to even speak our language, and that type of thing was considered to be illegal, punishable by jail. People disappeared and all kind of different things like that, you know. And so we had what they called Indian outlaws, and them people practice our ways in secret, you know, behind closed doors, or go way up in the mountain somewhere and speak the language inside and different things like that. And I was blessed to be raised by those people. And so one of the things that I was taught, though, is that we don't share. This is our ways, and this is for us, you know. And although I'm teaching you this so that they say, I don't teach you this for you. I teach you for your grandchildren's grandchildren to know. And that's why you get to learn this stuff. But we don't share with outside. This is for us, you know. And I it didn't make sense to me that, you know, why don't we share about ourselves? We don't, how can we expect people to come here and interact with us and that type of stuff if they don't know how to behave? If we don't tell them how to behave, then how can they know how to behave? And how do they know they're being disrespectful? You know, it's like a self-conflict that I had for a long time, and especially when this thing came out. And so I was loud against it, and one day I was sitting there talking to somebody, and they're like, well, don't you always say, and I always say this, we can't expect people to respect us if they don't understand us, you know, and who better to teach them than a culture bearer, you know, and so I was like, dang, man, you guys, you know, you got me.
And now, with gracious pride, the bond between Redwood and Yurok remains intact.
Just get out here and you get on the water and you get in one of these things and it's like going home to the womb or something, you know what I mean? It just feels so wonderful and magical and amazing. And you know, I helped out a little bit, and Julian called me and asked me to come back this year. And this has actually been one of the most satisfying, gratifying, magical, fantastical, beautiful things that I've ever been a part of. And it gives me hope. You get to see these young fellas over here and you know, they're picking up the mantle and hunger for this stuff. And for a long time growing up, we didn't have hope because I was told you're supposed to be white and you survive in this world by being white. You know, we don't have to tell these men that, and our children, we don't have to tell them that anymore. We get to say that, you know, this is what we are and this is how we are, and that's okay, and people can accept us or not, but we don't have to be hiding anymore, and we don't have to pretend that we're not something that we are. And these guys like this, you know, I'm very hopeful, and it gives me hope as well that not just only my family was doing this, you know, because you don't have to say a lot to these young men to, and they know, you know, don't have to do a lot of speaking. And that's old way, that I don't have to tell you what to do because you already know what to do. And these guys, and they come and it makes my heart really happy to be around them, you know, and they help keep me young a little bit. Again, I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm a little older than them. And so, you know, some factors like that, they help me to become a part of this, you know. And again, and it's become something that I'm in love with, and I hope I get to keep doing it for a long time, especially because I get to capture people on here and they kind of have to laugh at my jokes because otherwise it's awkward.
And young canoe captains like Julian are part of a new generation guiding a resurgence in Yurok culture.
Just bringing an awareness. Hop, he says all the time that, you know, you can't have people respect you if they don't know about you. So, you know, just letting people know who we are and just giving insight on what we do and things that are important to us. So that way, you know, build that bridge of them understanding who we are. So that way we can work together and, you know, build a better future.
What he said.
That is canoe captain Julian Markison, culture bearer Hop Norris, and canoe builder David Eric Severins, who took me on a serene voyage that shares a history of Yurok culture and a way of life that goes back centuries. The Yurok Redwood Canoe Tours are open to the public and help fund the restoration of an indigenous tradition. The song is titled Napui Rekwa from Yurok singer James Gensaw Sr. Still ahead, we'll head to San Joaquin County and meet Stockton Soul to hear how they're bringing back Soul Orchestra and learn about their melody of entertainment and education for the next generation. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.